Amen. We're going to be continuing our series this morning. We've been talking about the power of a word fulfilled. And many of you have commented on our word search board. And many of you might see a new word this week that wasn't there the previous week. Does everybody see it? Revealed? Does everybody see it? Some of you are like, that wasn't there last week. I know it wasn't. You know, OCD people. Okay, yes, you got us. You caught us. We called an audible on our Easter sermon, so we had to create a slot because we moved one sermon up to next week because we felt like it was going to be an incredible sermon, Easter worthy. So we moved that to next week, and so our sermon series is going to be bumped 1 week. So it created a slot, fortuitously, for this morning's sermon in Daniel chapter 2. And we're going to be talking about the difference between information and revelation, okay? The difference between information and revelation. You say, well, Tim, what are you talking about? You know, I don't understand. Aren't they the same thing? No. Information is something that you learn from below. You can ascertain it. You can accumulate information. Revelation, however, does not come from below, but it comes from above. And so God beams revelation down from above to us. You say, well, Tim, how does that work? I'm glad you asked me that question because that's what this morning's topic is about. There was a king called Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. In his dream, he saw all these things, but he had all the pieces to the puzzle, but he didn't have a template, so he didn't know how they all connected together. So he needed a man of God to put the pieces of his dream together. In other words, to define his dream and then give definition to his dream. So this morning, why is it important for you to be connected to godly people? We're going to find out this morning that if you have all the pieces, but you don't have the template, then all you have is a bunch of things rolling around in your head. Some of you can relate to this, right? You ever feel like you just got a bunch of things rolling around up there, but you're having a hard time fitting it all together, putting it all, what does it all mean? How do all these things go together? I don't really understand that, what you're doing, God. And so all these pieces are rolling around in your mind. And today we're going to understand how we get revelation that allows us to put these pieces together. And so that's what the sermon is about. So this king, verse 2, he had a dream. It says that he had this dream and it troubled him, and as a result, he lost sleep over it. We're going to put verse 2 up there right now. There we go. See that? Magic. And so as we're talking about this dream this morning, I just want to ask you a question. Have you ever had something happen to you in your life that troubled you? And as a result of it troubling you, you lost sleep over it. Can everybody relate to this? Show of hands. If you've ever had something, yeah, okay. So you remember back when you were young, you know, and like you had a girlfriend and then like she quit calling you or quit in this day and age texting you, and all of a sudden you kind of worried, like, are we on shaky ground? Did something happen and I'm unaware of it? Can anybody relate to that? You remember back in those days, right? I mean, and like, how about a job? Like, if you start seeing layoffs all around you and you start what? You start getting worried, right? You start getting stressed because there's uncertainty in your life. And if you ever get to uncertain times, those are not times that we covet. And so they stress us out and we might lose sleep over it. So here was, sometimes I think we mistakenly believe that if we had enough power, that it would take away our uncertainty. Do you think people ever believe that? Like, if you had enough money and you had enough power, then you wouldn't have any problems, right? Does anybody ever think that? Well, what if I told you that the most powerful man on the face of the planet at this time is Nebuchadnezzar? And Nebuchadnezzar, despite all of his power and despite all of his wealth, despite all of his popularity, he had this thing that troubled him and troubled him to the point that he was losing sleep over it. So learn the lesson this morning before we even get started in the sermon, that it doesn't matter how much you accumulate, that without revelation, you're going to be without peace, without comfort, without the ability to be content. And contentment is a thing in our culture today that is so elusive. And it's because we chase after the world stuff, and the world at best, can give you information, but it cannot give you revelation. So here was the problem that was set before the king. He had a dream, he didn't know what it meant, but it was troubling him, he's losing sleep over it, so he calls in his wise men, and they say, King, tell us the dream, and we'll tell you what it means. He goes, no. He goes, no, that's not the way it's going to work. In verse 7, he said, they answered him a second time. So this is the second go-around in this conversation. He said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show its interpretation. The king answered, and he said, no, that's not the way we're going to play this game. I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time. Have you ever seen someone that doesn't have an answer, right? You ever seen that? I don't know if y'all saw Rick Perry in the last presidential debates when he was like, you know what? There's three offices that I'm going to take away, to eliminate as soon as I get into office. And he named one, and then, like, dude, he went blank. It was like the most embarrassing thing ever. I love Governor Rick Perry, but it looked bad, right? He was like, and he even like looked at Newt Gingrich, right? He's like, feed me the answer. Newt's like, no, buddy, you're on your own right now. Yes, you are. And so whenever we don't know, we try to gain time, right? So it says they were trying to gain time, and the king saw through their facade. And he says, because you see that the word is firm. So he's saying, what I'm asking you is firm. I'm not going to change my mind. And he already told them that the consequence of you not being able to tell the dream is death. He says, you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. Now, let's stop right there. Leave that verse up. He said, I'm not going to tell you the dream. If you can really see, if you're really a visionary, if you're really like a witch doctor voodoo king, then I shouldn't have to tell you what the dream is. If you have this gift, then you can tell me the dream and its interpretation. And like they sat there like, and so this is their answer. They said, there is not a man on earth. There is not a man on earth that could answer the king and his demand. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing. Now watch this. They're saying this is unprecedented. How can you ask us to do such a thing? There's not a man on earth that could deliver the king's demand to him. They followed up with this verse, the last one in our first section. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the what? Except the what? The gods, little g. So in their paradigm, only the gods that were above or outside of us could answer this mystery. But the information that the king needed did not exist in the flesh. So this is setting up an incredible theological dichotomy. For those of my theologian students in here this morning, you're going to have fun with this passage. I hope everybody else will buckle up, put your brain on, okay? Everybody get your brain on, because we're going to learn something about revelation. You need revelation this morning. Trust me, the blessing of God is wrapped in revelation. Whenever God told Abraham, he said, if you choose me, I'll choose you. What do you think? Abraham said, yes, I choose you. When Abraham chose God, what happened? God unfolded the blessing. So the blessing was wrapped in the revelation. Whenever David was out there and Samuel was looking for the next king of Israel, it says that all the sons came before and none of them were the king. And then they were like, Jesse, like his dad, like David was an afterthought. Wouldn't you hate to be an afterthought to your parents? He's like, well, we got one more guy. He's not much to look at. We'll have him come by. So they bring David out, and Samuel's like, dude, this is the guy. He's chosen God. God's chosen him. As a result of their mutual choosing of each other, he gave him revelation. He said, you will be the next king of Israel. And after that, there was no giant. There was no king. There was nothing that could stop what God had blessed through the revelation of one of God's people. So why do you need revelation this morning? Because your blessing is wrapped in that revelation. And if you don't get the revelation, I promise you, you'll never reach the blessing. So here was the king. He said, you tell me the dream. If you can see, tell me the dream. They said, there's not a man on earth that could ever deliver the king's demand. And then they said, you know what? Really, this information, it doesn't even dwell on earth. It dwells with the gods. So this information is not even attainable because it's outside of us, because those answers do not dwell in the flesh. So we lack the power in our flesh to ascertain the answers to life's mysteries. So we're going to set up this dichotomy. So the world believes that there are some mysteries that cannot be answered. And we're going to find out that God's man, Daniel, believed that all mysteries could be revealed from the God of heaven. So it sets up a great dilemma for us this morning. Are you the type of person that lives in mystery, or do you live in revelation? If you live in mystery, uncertainty surrounds your life. If you live in revelation, then peace and security surround your life. Which one do you prefer this morning? If you walked in here believing that that was outside of your control, then I'm going to empower you this morning before this message is done. The first thing I want us to consider this morning is the difference between producers and parasites. A parasite is a person who receives support and advantage from another or others without giving any useful or proper return as one who lives on the hospitality of others. Has anybody ever known a parasite? Show of hands. Come on. Let's just throw them under the bus right now, all right? You got them in your mind. Just right there. Bus was coming. Boom. Run over them, okay? So we've all experienced parasites. Parasites are people that consume without replenishing. They take without giving back. Has anybody ever experienced this in a relationship, right? You've seen a parasite, right? Here are these false preachers, these false prophets, these veiled wise men, quote unquote, and when the time came that the king needed them the most, whenever he got ready and he said, you know what, I've reached a mystery that cannot be answered, he leaned on a false friend, and a false friend failed him, because they lacked the truth. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever leaned on somebody that you believed in, someone that you trusted, and then when you leaned on them, you realized that they were a false friend? Has anybody ever had that experience here? You tell me, does it hurt? Does it hurt whenever at this very moment, you needed them the most, and you leaned, you put your weight, your trust, and when you leaned on them, they crumbled before you. Why? Because they were false. You see, the Bible says that Jesus is like a rock, and the rock is truth. And when we build our life on the rock, we build our life on the truth. When we build our life on the truth, it withstands the storms of life. This morning, how important is it for you to surround yourself with people that have a foundation of the rock, so that whenever the storms of life come, God intended for us to live in community so that we can lean on one another? That's why he said, bear one another's burdens. If you are living a life of falsity, then I might mistakenly lean on you. And if I lean on you and you're living in falsity, then I'm going to fall. How important is it for all of us as a body of believers to ground our lives and surround our lives with truth so that we might be able to minister to others in their times of need? Parasites take without giving. They consume, and they're limited in their vision. Did you notice how limited these people were in their vision? They're like, well, king, nobody could do this. And so they were saying that their knowledge had a limit. And so as a result of their limit, they believed they were living off the king's hospitality, right? They weren't giving anything beneficial to the king. It looked like they were, but the king realized when they could not tell him the dream that everything that they had been speaking was false, was lies. Oh, this morning, if you might realize that the world is limited in what it has to offer you. Have you ever believed, come on, I bet we all have been deceived at some point into believing that the world could really make you happy, that the world could really give you peace, that the world could give you purpose that is bigger than life. And every time we've leaned on the world, and every time we've lusted after it, and every time we've chased after it, every time it disappoints us. When will we learn that it's not information that we need, that it's revelation that comes from above? Parasites, they take and they don't give. And then if we contrast that with producers, we know that Daniel in this story, he's going to have the answer. He's going to produce. And this is what producers do. If parasites consume, I want us to think of producers as those that expand. Daniel is going to produce the answer to the problem, and as a result, it's going to expand the vision of the king. I want you to think about producers that are in your life. Everyone that's a producer that's connected to life, which is the vine, connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ, when they're connected to the vine, they overflow. When they overflow, you are blessed. So as a result of you being connected to them, your life expands. Have you ever been around people that are life givers and not life takers? Isn't it fun to be around people that are life givers? I mean, when you're around them, you just feel better about yourself and your life. And it doesn't matter what problem that you bring them, they're able to give you wisdom from above that allows you to navigate those rough waters. I mean, tell me the truth. Life givers are great people to be around. Whenever Jesus was on the scene, do you think he was a producer or do you think he was a parasite? What did he ever take from somebody else that he needed himself? Nothing. But how much did he give away? Everything. There was a woman that came out one day, and she was at a well, and she had been through five, count them, five marriages. Would you say, now I know some people have been married in here a couple times, but I don't think, and I'm not judging you if you have been, but five times, come on. I mean, at some point, you got to realize you have changed, right? You have changed the scenery five times. You have taken the car back, and you have gotten a new model five times. And yet, it has ended bad every time. What is the common denominator in this problem? It's you, okay? So here was this woman that was coming out to this well. She's been married five times. And he said, the husband that you're, or the man that you're living with right now, he's not even your husband. And she's like, oh. And you ever had the Lord reveal your sin to you? It's never fun, is it? He's like, yeah, I'm talking to you. So anyway, so here was this woman. Would you say that if you've been married five times, that you are searching for something? Would you say that? Have you ever seen someone bounce from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship and they have to be with someone? Because you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to fill the void in their life that belongs to God with a person. And you can have the best love in this world and it will never fulfill the place that God has created in your heart that can only be filled by Him. So here was this woman chasing. Would you say that her life reflected a person of thirst? A person that was thirsting after love, a person who was thirsting after meaning. She had gone through five relationships. She meets this guy named Jesus. She's out at this well in the middle of the day. The sun is up. It's hot. And he's sitting there. He's been walking a long ways. His disciples have gone in to get him some refreshment. And he's by himself. And he says, hey, are you thirsty? She's got a bucket, right? And there's a well. And he's asking an obvious question. I love Jesus because he asked those questions. He's not asking the question because he needs an answer, okay, folks? He's asking the question because he wants you to think. He says, are you thirsty? And she's like, well, yes, I'm thirsty. He goes, if you ask me, I could give you water and you would never thirst again. Now I want you to think about that. If she'd been through five marriages, how thirsty do you think she was? She was thirsty, right? She was looking for love. She was looking for peace, contentment, all the great things of life. And she had not been able to find it. It was elusive to her. Uncertainty surrounded her. And then Jesus said, in one moment, that I will give, I'm a producer. I will give to you, and it will never run out. How different is God as a producer versus the parasites around us. He only gives, he only expands. Whenever there was a group of people around him that were hungry and thirsty, he said, I would desire to feed these people. And his disciples said, oh, we can't feed all these people. Look at them. And so it'd be like, if I had all y'all over for dinner, you'd be like, I can't feed all y'all. Now, some of y'all eat more than we have in my pantry. And so he said, the disciples said, we don't have enough. And he said, well, what do you have? He said, bring me what you have. And then what did he do? He blessed what they had. And what happened? It expanded, didn't it? It expanded. And when it expanded, what did it do? It provided for all the people around them. So whenever you think about producers expand. Parasites consume. Parasites take. Producers give. So let's boil that down. Let's ask ourselves a question. It begs the question, right? I heard a famous preacher say this. When people get you, you, all your package, okay? All your Nordstrom up package, okay? That you walked in here this morning, all your facade, your smile, the handshake, the car, the clothes, the house. When they get you, the real you, what do they get? When they get you, when you walk into someone's life, what do they get? Do they get a parasite? Or do they get a producer? In your marriage, in your friendships, do you take or do you give? Do you consume or do you expand? At your workplace, are you a parasite or are you a producer? Show me the employee or the owner of a business that ever seeks to expand the people around you, and I will show you a successful person. Show me a person who only is thinking about how they can push someone down so they can lift themselves up, and I will show you a person that is never, never going to find contentment. This morning, if you're a parasite, all you're thinking about your employer is, how can I take from them? How can I take from them? And you're not even thinking about how you can give back. Well, let's see here. We got marriage, we got friends, we got career. I guess we probably should talk about church. When it comes to church, are you a parasite or are you a producer? Does God called you to consume or has he called you to sacrifice? Has he called you to be served or has he called you to serve others? When people get you, what do they get? Oh, this morning, I hope that we'll drill down into this truth and see that these men that had every opportunity to bless this king that he had surrounded himself with, when it came to the moment that decided whether they were physical or spiritual, they were physical, and as a result of being physical and not spiritual, they were limited, and they could not ultimately help him in his time of need. I don't know who you're surrounding yourself with, but I would ask you to take counsel from the Word of God this morning. Second thing from this opening passage is that problems are platforms. Problems are platforms. Most of us do not see it this way, and that's why you have a miserable life. Let's just be honest, okay? If you're bitter and here this morning, it's because you see problems as an obstacle. You don't see it as a platform, all right? Now, I want to help you this morning, because if every time a problem comes into your life, I want to talk some Christianese. Let's have some fun with this morning, okay? This cracks me up. Let me set this up, because I want to be honest with you, okay? There is a devil, there is an enemy, there are spiritual forces against us, and, you know, Corinthians is very obvious about that. Romans 8 is a great chapter about that, and so I am not suggesting for a moment that there is not a spiritual battle that goes on. However, I know some people that every time a problem arises in their life, you know what they say? Like, the devil's attacking me right now. I'm under attack. I'm under attack. I couldn't pay my bills last month. No. I'm under attack. I just can't lose weight. Okay, okay? That's self-discipline. All right, you're blaming the devil for what you're doing, okay? So let's just be careful about where we lay the blame. All right? Because problems aren't necessarily a result of a spiritual attack. Problems often are more of a platform. God has given you a platform because he's allowed a problem to arise. Now, if you are connected to truth, and if you are connected to hope, if you are connected to the water that overflows and never runs dry, if you are connected to the bread of life, that when that problem arises, the world needs an answer. And what he has provided in you is the hope of all eternity. So God allows problems to arise to create a platform, to create a stage for you to step out and answer the uncertainty. What did the false prophet say? There is not a man on earth that could answer the king in this matter. Do Do you see that a problem arose? This problem, the king said, if you can't answer this problem, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kill you. I don't think it gets much more intense than death is on the line. Would everybody agree? If your boss came to you and instead of saying, I'm going to fire you, said, I'm going to kill you if you cannot close this deal. Wouldn't that just kind of ratchet it up just a level? Would everybody agree with me? If we said, you know what? If you will not serve in the back, we are going to kill you. If we can't get you to serve one and worship in one, we are just going to kill you. That would just take it up a notch. I'm just saying. And so all I'm getting you to see this morning is that death was on the line. And as a result, it was intense. So here in this moment, a problem was created. God allowed this problem to raise up, and their answer set the stage. Don't you know how awesome it was? All these wise men said, there's not even a person on this planet. There's not even a king that's ever asked such a question. The answer doesn't even dwell in the flesh. Only the gods can know such an answer. Oh my gosh. I mean, talk about teeing it up, right? I mean, God's like, here you go, Daniel. Enjoy. Problems are platforms. Platforms. In these platforms, God is going to grow you. You see, if he made it easy for you, you would just live on cruise control. Now, answer me this. Have you ever been driving down the road, right? You left the work, and you're on your way to your house, and you arrive at your house, and you have no idea what you just did, right? You don't know if you ran over someone. You don't know if you went through a stoplight. You don't even know. Has anybody else had this experience in here? You just were like mind numb, right? Driving down the road, and next thing you know, you're there. You're like, oh my gosh, what just happened? I wasn't even paying attention that whole time. If God allowed only good, only just easy, you would never consider, you'd never grow. He says that perseverance, working out your salvation with fear and trembling, that grows us. Obstacles, problems are platforms that he's going to use to grow you. And then after he grows you, he's going to put you out there in the game. He's going to say, I want you to give answers where the world is insufficient. Where they are limited, you are limitless. You have answers to the questions that the world cannot answer. Three questions the world will never be able to answer. Questions that you need to know the answers to this morning. Number one, where did you come from? Simple question, where did you come from? Where did you come from? Second question, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? Do you know what your purpose is in life? Is your purpose to eat food? Some of you are right on the mark on that. You're like, yes, Tim, more food, please. No, your life is more than food, I hope, right? How about just to find someone that you can be married to? Is that your purpose in life? Or just to make babies, you know, just to have children. And some of you are really, really good at that. Some of you got big families. And so maybe you think, you know what, Tim, it's a... What about to have a lot of money? Some of us think, you know, that's our job in life. All of these things, you have to understand, all of these things are finite. They are perishing things. They are temporal. And at the end of the day, they are not your purpose. How about the third question? Probably the most important question. Where are you going after you die? Where are you going to go after you die? Are you just going to die and be dead and nothing happens? You just turn into dirt? If there's an eternity on the other side, are you prepared for it? Do you know where with certainty that you're going? Remember, the world is going to be full of uncertainty. Those connected to God are going to be full of peace and contentment. This morning when you walked in, is uncertainty surrounding your life? I can tell you, you want to be uncertain about a lot of things, but you don't want to be uncertain about eternity. Three questions the world can never give you an answer to because they are limited. They are limited in their vision. Let's find out how the story ends. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 16, the decree has gone out. After these wise men could not tell him the dream, he said, all right, wipe them all out. Just kill them all. Now, Here we see Nebuchadnezzar had a little bit of a temper issue because killing them is not going to have him have the answer, right? So just be careful with your temper when you react. Because he said, all right, wipe all the wise men out. Well, Daniel was one of the wise men. And so was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so Daniel went to the soldier that was in charge of him, and he said, why is the king so urgent about killing all of us? He said, I'll tell you what. He says, Daniel went and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Now, here's what's cool. He doesn't have it yet, all right? He doesn't know what the dream is. He hasn't even asked God about it yet, but he makes an appointment to tell the king what the interpretation was. And then he goes to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he goes, hey, guys, here's the deal. We're all going to die unless God tells us what this dream is. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, we're like, what? You made an appointment, and you don't even know yet? He goes, well, we're going to pray about it. Death was on the line, and he made an appointment in faith. How did he have the confidence to say, make an appointment, and then I'll go get the revelation for the king? Think about that for a moment. He must have known the character of God, because once you know the character of God, you can have confidence, right? Right, there's no weapon formed against us that can prosper, that nothing is impossible with God. Some things are impossible with them, and nothing is impossible with God. I mean, all these verses come to mind about how God is sufficient, that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could ever ask or imagine. Daniel knew the content of God's character, and as a result, he was confident that he could make the appointment before he ever knew what the dream was. I don't know, whenever you have a problem, I wonder, do you freak out? Do you think problems are something that's against you? Maybe, what if you changed your perspective and saw that God allows problems to come in your life or in the lives of people around you sometimes so that he can create a platform to use you, to grow you, but ultimately expand his kingdom? And if we are connected to the light, shouldn't we be ready to give an answer to every man according to the hope that is within us? So he says to the king, he says to the soldier, make an appointment. In verse 26, it says, I believe it's 26, my eyes are not as good as they once were. The king declared to Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, he's asking him a question. He said, are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered the king and said, No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show the king the mystery that the king has asked. Now, you have to be good, okay? You have to understand, once God has given you the platform, right? Once he's created the problem or allowed the problem and given you the platform, Daniel takes this opportunity to speak to the most powerful man on the planet, and he says, you needed an answer, didn't you? You needed an answer, didn't you? And nobody could give it to you, could they? Do you know what he was saying to this king? You, despite all of your power, despite all of your wealth, are helpless. You are limited. You are a finite man, though you are king of kings in your domain. In comparison to the God of the heavens, you are helpless before him. He said, no one could give you the answer that you desired. Some of you are chasing after answers, and it doesn't matter who you run to down here. All they can give you is information, but they cannot give you revelation. He goes on and says to the king, nobody was able to give you answers. Verse 28, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Verse 30, he says, but as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living. Now, do you hear the humility? Do you hear the humility? He said, king, I'm going to be able to give this to you not because I'm more powerful than everybody else around me, not because I'm smarter than everyone else around me, but why? But in order that the interpretation may be known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. He said, you know that jumbled mess that's running around inside your brain? He said, the reason why I'm going to be able to give this to you is so that you will know that the God of heaven has a plan, and that when you're connected to a man of God, when you're connected to a person of God, they can give you definition for your dreams. How many of you have dreams, aspirations, thoughts rolling around inside of your head, but you have no idea how to connect that to growing the kingdom of God. You actually might even mistakenly think that your dream is for you. I'm gonna tell you, you're a selfish person. You're a parasite. If you believe that your dream is just for you, then you are missing the point of life. God said that he gives the dreams not for you, but to expand him and to expand those around you. Start thinking like a producer, quit thinking like a parasite, and he will connect people of God to your dreams, and they will give direction for your dream, and they will give definition to your dream. What if this morning we started rethinking our perspectives? A couple of things that you need to know. You need to know that revelation is possible. I don't care what your problem is this morning. Revelation is possible. Jesus echoed Daniel's sentiment in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Think about this for a moment. This is the first sermon that Jesus preached in a public record that we have. So the first sermon that Jesus preaches right out of the gate that the writer of the Gospel of Matthew writes down, he says these words, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Seek, and you will find." Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty promising to me this morning, that revelation is possible. See, some of you thinking here this morning that, oh, well, you just can't know these things. You can't know where you came from. You can't know what your divine purpose is. You can't know with certainty where you're going. And yet Jesus himself, he said, "Seek, and you will find it. Ask, and it will be given to you. Knock, and I will open the door to revelation this morning." What did the magician say? There's no man on earth that could give this type of answer, because that answer resides with the gods and not with the flesh. You see, not only do you need to know that revelation is possible, you need to know where it comes from. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, watch this. It says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay." To what? To show that the all-surpassing power is in us. It's in us. It belongs to us. But the power is from God. Let's read it together. It says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." So it's in us. It's in us. But it doesn't belong to us. Now, this is an important distinction, okay? Here's your little nugget to take away from this morning's message. Whenever you think about the power of God in your life, I just want to ask you a question, okay? Just a simple question. When people see your life, do they see a reflection of the power of God? You say, "Well, Tim, I thought the power was in me and that it was me." No, the power is in you, but it's not you. Don't mistake the power for your power. Daniel said, "King, it's not my power. I'm gonna do this for you. I'm gonna do what your guys couldn't do, but it's not me. It's not my power. It's the God of heaven whose power is in me." Now here's the cool thing. If you understand that the power is in you, but it's not you, then it reflects that the only way that you can be you sitting in here this morning is because of him. Because his power was in you, and it made you what you are sitting in here this morning. It made you redeemed from your sin. And that power is in you, but you couldn't have made you today. You couldn't have forgiven your sin. All of us in here have things that we've done that we regret. Would you guys agree? If I rolled out your skeletons in your closet and I put them on that screen right now, you'd be embarrassed. You'd be guilt-filled. You'd be like, "Tim, why are you laying me bare before all these people?" And yet God saw you. God saw you in your worst, in your weakest state. And he demonstrates his power in that he makes you forgiven. He makes you clean. So that power is in you. But the only way that you could be what you are right now, the only way you could have what you have right now, is because it's him and not you. Many of you, the person you're married to, the only reason why you're married to him because it was him and it wasn't you. You're not that good looking. You're not that smart. You don't have enough to impress them. So how did you get what you have? I'm telling you, it's him. He blessed you with what you have. So this morning, I just want you to think on a finite, and then I want you to expand it to the infinite. this morning, your purpose in life, your purpose in life, your sole purpose in life is to bring worship to Him. That after He gives revelation to you, that you give recognition to Him. Whatever Daniel gave revelation to this wicked pagan king, the Bible says that he falls on the ground and he says, Daniel, your God is the God of gods. Your God is the Lord of kings. And your God alone is the revealer of mysteries. This morning, do you want to know where you came from? God created you. He spoke you into existence, and you are special. Not because of you. You're special because you bear the mark of your Creator. What is your purpose? Your purpose, your sole purpose, is to bring worship, bring glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And where you're going, if you want to know with certainty, it's how you relate to Jesus Christ. If you confess Him as Lord, if you repent of your sins, if you embrace the cross this morning, I'm telling you, the Bible says you can know with a certainty that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That the love of God, once it is in you, it says that there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. It even goes on to say, what shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ? Romans 8, 35 through 39, it says, shall death, shall peril, shall persecution, shall sin, shall wicked things, can anything separate us from the love of God? Paul said, I am persuaded that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning, would you stand with us and let's praise Him for the mercy that He has given us.